Happy New Year. We think about a new year as an opportunity to have fresh experiences, a new year that brings great hope and promise, and it should. But the reality is, the change on a calendar of a single day doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything's going to be better. As a matter of fact, 2020 is off to a bit of a rocky start. There's been a lot of concern, if you keep up with the news, about the assassination of a top military leader in Iran. And there's a lot of debate back and forth about the issue, but overarching all of it is the concern about the outbreak of war and what could be a global conflict, World War III. All throughout this past week, after the events happened, social media has blown up with young adults concerned about a military draft, lots of things being put out. And there are a lot of people who obviously, like all of us today, who have concern and stress and worry about what might happen. Then there's the domino effect, not just of a war that perhaps would take place on a foreign on foreign soil, far away from us, but the concern of the domino effect of things like how it would affect the economy, how it would disrupt our lives. So many things that can be so upsetting. And as we launch into 2020, we can be overcome with fear and worry about things of that scale or personal struggles that you're going through. 2020 has its struggles, it has its issues. But today, I'm excited as we move into a new year. And today I want to share with you five reasons very quickly of why I believe you can be excited about 2020. No matter the backdrop of the troubles in this world, you can be excited. No matter the bad news, you can be excited because of the good news of Jesus Christ. As a believer, you have so many reasons to be encouraged. And today, at the close of our service, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. And I believe these five things I'm going to share with you are pictured well in the Lord's Supper and can be a great encouragement to bring you hope and peace in your heart today. So as I partake in the Lord's Supper today, I am reminded that number one, Christ died for my sin. Now, like the rest of you, and like the rest of humanity and every person who's ever lived, I readily admit and acknowledge I am a wretched sinner. I might try to be a good person. I might even amaze myself at times with some good thing that I do, some charitable action. But as much as I might think about myself and my morality, the truth is I am a sinner separated from God. Isaiah 64, verse 6. I want to draw your attention to this passage, and I'm going to give you quite a few scripture today. It says there, all of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts, all the good things we do, all the things that we think make us moral people, all of it, it's like a polluted garment. And you can go back and study a little deeper about exactly what it's saying there. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. Scripture tells me that my very best moments apart from Christ are filthy compared to the holiness and the perfection of God. And there's nothing I can do to change that. Nothing I can do in my power to eradicate sin from my life. There's nothing I can do to remove the sin and guilt of sin in my life. I was destined to spend an eternal existence apart from God, to spend eternity in a godless hell, and there's nothing that I can do about it. Because as it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person falls short of the standard of perfection that's found in God. All of us are separated from God. All of us doomed to destruction. Yet we have an amazing promise in Scripture about Christ dying for our sins. Listen to Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for all of us whose very best is like a filthy rag before God. And then jump down to verse 8, it says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, in our worst moment, separated from God, it says Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? And friend, that's what we face without Christ. Had it not been for the death of Christ for our sins, we would face the wrath of God poured out against us. For if while we were enemies, verse 10 says, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. This is what we are reminded of through the Lord's Supper today, that Jesus died for our sins. The broken bread, picturing his body broken and torn for us. That crown of thorns pressed down upon his brow. That spear shoved through his flesh into his side. His flesh broken as the nails were piercing his hands and his feet. And then we come to the cup, picturing that blood that was shed from that broken body, that blood that poured from his brow, that blood that flowed from his beaten face, that poured from his lacerated back, that flowed forth from that nail-pierced body, that body offered up for our sin, his blood, an atonement for our sins. Matthew chapter 26, in verses 26 through 28, as it recounts the first Lord's Supper, Jesus made this statement in verse 28, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. And because Jesus died for me, Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2 says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What great news, so much excitement today about the fact that Christ died for your sins. You are going to face the wrath of a holy God left in your sin, destined for eternity apart from God. But God in his great grace and mercy gave his one and only Son, who died as the sacrifice for your sin, the perfect sacrifice. And now the wrath of God is no longer against you. Now there is no condemnation, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Christ died for my sins. Christ died for your sin. And that's something to keep us excited as we move into this new year. No matter what happens in this world or in our lives, nothing can change the fact that Christ died for us. Second, I'm excited about a new year because I find that his grace is greater than my sin. If you're anything like me, you think of all the ways in which you fail and sin and have so many shortcomings in your life. You think about all the ways that you fail at being the Christian you are called to be. I often feel like the Apostle Paul. Remember when he said, I am the chief of all sinners. He said that a couple thousand years ago. He hadn't met all of us, right? He thought he was the chief of sinners. Paul, if you think you're the worst sinner there is, you ought to meet Marty. You need to meet all these folks gathered here this Sunday morning. Listen, we need to feel convicted of our sin. We need to turn from sin. We need to choose the Lord's way. But what I want to tell us today is that when we do sin, we have God's grace. And it's more abundant than our sin. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It encourages us, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. So this morning, you may feel like there's the weight of the world for the things of your past and the mistakes that you've made and all the heartache you carry with that. But understand, where sin increased in your life, grace can cover it. Grace is greater than your sin. What a great promise. Isn't it wonderful to know that this year can be a year of renewed faith and hope? And yes, you're going to struggle at times. You're going to slip in your convictions, but God's grace and his forgiveness is there to uplift you and to restore you. This is such an exciting year ahead because God's grace is greater than all the sin you carry. And some of you today, you have told God you're sorry for what you've done. And something happened in your life months or years ago, and you're carrying inside of you all the feelings of guilt and remorse for things that you've received forgiveness for from God. Be encouraged with Isaiah 43:25. I, the Lord says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. You remember them, but God does not. And today, as we partake in the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that His sacrifice is sufficient to provide us salvation, but not just that, but to cover all of our sins through all of our lives. We take the Lord's Supper multiple times a year, don't we? Why do we do that? Well, we're instructed to do so, to do it as often as we can, to join together and have the Lord's Supper. But it's not just to have this repetitive experience as a church, but it's to remind us of the grace of God. Because we do go through life and we get bogged down and we get down and downtrodden because of the things we've done. But Scripture reminds us, and the Lord's Supper pictures for us, the grace of God that is so abundant. We need to be reminded today that our performance in the Christian life is not what brings God happiness with us. He loves you, and He gives you His grace abundantly, and He does it freely. It's based on who He is, not what you do. His grace is given in far greater measure than your sin. The third reason I'm excited about 2020 is that Jesus has conquered death. We are reminded in the Lord's Supper today, as we partake of these elements, not just of the body broken and the blood spilled out. It's not that Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice and that was the end of all of it. As we partake in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that He is the perfect sacrifice of God, and therefore death could not hold Him. He was the Lamb without blemish, and He died, but He also is risen from the dead. Jesus said at that first presentation of the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, He says this, "But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I love this verse because Jesus is making a resurrection promise, isn't He? He was assuring the disciples that the cross wasn't the end of it. There was more to come. There's another chapter. Jesus conquered death and He reigns as our Savior. Romans 8:34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. We have this risen Savior, and He loves us, and He guides us, and Scripture says He will always be with us. So throughout 2020, throughout the rest of eternity, Jesus is your risen Lord. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And even if tomorrow things escalate and the entire world melts down, there's global conflict that turns everything crazy, even if your personal world melts down and things go haywire on you, understand this: His resurrection is your resurrection. Jesus conquered death, and therefore you will conquer death. Eternal life is mine, it is yours. The words of Jesus to Martha ring true for us from John chapter 11. As He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in Me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die." So, worst case scenario, your life even comes to an end, it's in that moment you're more victorious than you've ever been, because Jesus has conquered death. Number four, I'm excited about 2020 because Jesus is coming for me. 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about the Lord's something, he says it's something we are to do to remember the body and the blood, the grace, the forgiveness, but it's also about remembering that Jesus is coming again. Listen to verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death," how long? "Until He comes again." In other words, we can be excited today because the Lord has not forgotten us. You may feel like sometimes that with all the burdens you carry and all the prayers you pray, it's like God's not listening, God's not hearing, God has forgotten about you, but that's not the case. He's coming back for you. Who knows? Perhaps 2020 is the year it happens. We're not going to set any dates or anything like that, but Jesus, his coming is imminent. He's going to take us from this earth. And what we need to do in 2020 is to be excited about that and live like this is the year and look for his coming, to look to the sky and long for Christ to return, and that our heart's cry and prayer would become Lord Jesus. So partake of the Lord's Supper today, being reminded that Jesus is coming again. Finally, I'm excited about 2020 because while I'm waiting for Jesus to return, I have a place to belong. The Lord's Supper is a reminder that we belong to a family, the family of God. And a start of a new year and being here today is a great time to renew your commitment, not just to attend church, but to choose to make the church your family. A place where you don't just show up and attend most of the time, but a place where you're intimately involved, a place where you go deep into relationships, a community of people where you are devoted, where you give of yourself, you bless and encourage others, you're invested and you're present. Those would be some great commitments, some godly biblical commitments for us in a new year. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? So Paul's making this case that we're sharing together, we're joining together in the Lord's Supper, we're coming together as a body of believers because there is one bread. We who are many, all of us from all these different backgrounds, all the diversity in this room, people who are different from you or are strangers to you, as we come together on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, we're coming together because we are one body, since all of us share the one bread. I like how the New Living Translation presents verses 17 and 18. And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. So when we receive the Lord's Supper today, we're showing that we belong to one another. We belong to the Lord. We're part of a family. Think about the people of Israel. Weren't they united by eating the sacrifices at the altar? The Lord's Supper is a reminder that we are family. And as we move into a new year that is sure to be filled with good times and difficult times, I'm so excited because I get to share all of that with my church family. God is given me this community of faith. God has given me a church, his church, and I'm to fully devote myself to it. And I'm so thankful to God that he's given me a place where I belong. And you belong here. You may not feel like you belong. You may feel like you're on the fringes and you're not intimately connected. But that's not what God wants for you. In 2020, he wants you to dive deep in your fellowship and membership in our church. He wants you to connect with people like never before. He wants you in Bible studies and weekly and worship services. He wants you to get connected because this is where you belong. This is a place to help you grow in your faith, a place where you can help others to grow in their faith. And all of that is pictured in the Lord's Supper. It's a time that helps us to keep the right perspective. What a great way to start this new year of opportunity and encouragement. So no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get in the world, we have one another, we have the Lord, and we have all these promises we've talked about today.